Well, it is Israel slide time again. Well, this one's going to be all Israel. I know I had a lot of Paris last time, and you know, after Israel, we went to London. You ain't seeing any of London. I'm sorry. Actually, I had to sort through. Remember, I told you I took over 2,200 pictures on our trip. That's Paris, Jerusalem, and London. Boy, that sounds elitist, doesn't it?
Yes. We're such world travelers, elite.
But I took a ton in Israel. And, you know, what I did was I put it together in a slide, you know, and I'm choosing which ones to show you. Let's just say it was a real chore because there were so many. And, I could have shown you all 2,200, you know, but I think you probably, I'd hear snoring in about 5 minutes, probably, including me. You know, that would be awful for somebody to go to sleep in the middle of their own presentation. I've been tempted, you know, when I was teaching computer programming, that's pretty dull stuff, okay? I almost went to sleep several times. But we're going to continue. Remember, we were on the Mediterranean coast the last time, went to Jaffa and saw the ruins there. And now we go inland. And we're heading toward the Sea of Galilee. But part of it is we went to Mount Carmel. So let me open with a word of prayer, and then we will get into our little tour of Israel. Okay? Lord, thank you for our time together, and praise you for the opportunity to go there and visit the places that you lived and walked and grew up. We just praise you that those things are still preserved for our enjoyment and for our benefit, and just pray that as we go through these that your name will be glorified and all the things that you did here on earth will be proclaimed, and that we will believe in you all the more. In Christ's name, amen. Yes, we did go to Mount Carmel. And a lot of our trip was on a bus. Okay, we had lots of bus time. And it was a fascinating group of people, too. The guy that sat next to me was an engineer. He lived in Washington, D.C., retired, and he was an engineer. And I said, well, what'd you work on? Aircraft carriers. And he said, I just finished, you know, the latest aircraft carrier that they just finished. He worked on that thing. And that's what I love about touring is the fascinating people you meet, you know. And so I love talking to those folks. And he and I got to ribbing each other, you know, that we were looking for a Whataburger anywhere in Israel. There's not a Whataburger anywhere in Israel, I found out. And it just shows how uncivilized things are there in the Middle East. This is Mount Carmel. And one of the things that you see here is that a lot of these places that you see in the Old Testament have been preserved by one or more religious group, like Catholics. We saw Russian Orthodox stuff, you know, just churches of various denominations and various faiths. This, obviously, Carmelite order, which I think is kind of fascinating. Once again, notice how everything is in Hebrew, Arabic, and English. So if you want to learn Arabic, you don't have to go to Saudi Arabia. You can go to Israel as well. But this was a fascinating place because Mount Carmel's a pretty place. It's got these statues. There's all kinds of memorials as to what's going on. There are plaques all over the place. This is it's a garden area. It's a sanctuary, almost like a chapel. And there's a garden area around there. Mount Carmel is a mount, which means it overlooks a valley. And that's what you see. Isn't that something? One thing that I think I mentioned this last week, one thing that impressed me was how beautiful northern Israel was. I mean, it was, you know, very agricultural, but the landscape was beautiful. You have these mountains, and as you can see, you have flat plains. You have the Valley of Megiddo, for crying out loud. And it really is a valley. We drove through it. Okay, this is the area right around that chapel. And it's just, you walk around this thing, and it's just beautiful. There's another panoramic view from Mount Carmel. Remember, anybody know what happened on Mount Carmel? Come on now, you Old Testament scholars, you. Dr. Carl, please educate us. Of a fiery kind, right? Yeah, this is where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal that were in Israel at the time. It's amazing how deeply ingrained Baal worship was among God's people. And there's a reason why. It started, believe it or not, in the book of Judges. And it plagued Israel for hundreds of years. And this Elijah confrontation was one of several things that happened during that time when Baal worship, especially in the 10 northern tribes, was prevalent. I mean, it was almost more than worshiping of the Lord. My study of the Old Testament shows me that, sure, some people just completely denied Yahweh existed, but most of them were what we call syncretistic, to believe with. They meshed the worship of the Lord with the worship of other gods. Yahweh is just one of many. Okay? And that happened quite a bit back then. And so it happened in northern Israel, and later it happened in southern Israel too, the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. But I just, you know, I love landscapes, and I thought, you know, this is a mountain view of the plains down below. I loved it. And this is, that actually quotes scripture in Kings about the Elijah thing. But it's in several languages, as you might expect. We went to Megiddo. There's not much to see, but this is the Valley of Megiddo. Right now, it's a beautiful agricultural area. And like I say, northern Israel. It is, there are some ruins there, but, you know, you can see the ancient steps in some of the cities. All of this is really strongly preserved by the Israeli government. A lot of this stuff is, they're very jealous of these things, as you might expect. And I'm glad they are, because, you know, we can go there and we can get an idea of what life was like. You know, but these are ancient. This goes way, way back, thousands of years. The city gate. Anybody read the Hebrew over here? Sha'ar Ha'ir. The gate of the city. And that's an artist's rendering of what this area looked like back in the city of Megiddo looked like back then. And notice it talks about Solomon building Megiddo with the stables and this, that, and the other, along with building other things. You know, Solomon was a great builder of buildings. And one of the things that he did was build Megiddo. I just took some pictures here just to show you how ancient things are. These aren't exciting. They're not going to keep you on the edge of your seat. But it just shows you, like, that wall, you know, button out from the dirt, that this is an ongoing archaeological site, you know, and more stuff is revealed every year because a lot of people dedicate themselves to doing these archaeological sites. One of my professors at DTS would go to Israel on a regular basis, and of course he's still with us and still is a world-renowned Old Testament scholar. He got too old to go down into the pits, you know, and dig. So he would sit there, and people that did the digging, when they uncovered something, they would bring it to him so he could evaluate its value. He knows that stuff. He's a walking encyclopedia of ancient Near East. You want to know when one of the Assyrian kings reigned? He knows. He's got it all up here. Yes. That you have to go through essentially a government bureaucracy. If you're one of the people that are recognized, there's a guy that he's retired now. He can't do it anymore. But I got to meet him one time. He, in his office at Criswell Bible Institute there in Dallas, I got to go into his office, and there's pictures of him with Menachem Begin and all these other Israel dignitaries. And I went, what? But you almost have to have that kind of contact to be approved to do this kind of stuff. I've never been through it, but I can imagine that it's a pretty strict bureaucracy and approval process. And I like this because notice it outlines buildings, maybe houses. Like I said last time, here in Texas, if something's 50 years old, that's ancient. These are thousands of years old. This probably goes back almost to 3,000, 3,500 years, which is amazing. Oh, yeah, I got this airplane flying over the Valley of Megiddo. I had to show that to you. But isn't it a beautiful area? Okay? I want you to keep this in mind because later we're going to go into another area that's not so pretty to show you the diversity of what if you go to Israel, there's a wide variety. You're going to see fertile fields here. And then in parts of southern Israel, it's absolute desert. Not a plant to be seen. I'm sorry? Olives. They're also, actually, there's a lot of bananas. And, I think these are an olive plantation here. So, yeah, there's olive trees. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Yeah. Yeah. The northern stables, remember Solomon would love to his horses, and so he had the stables. And then we leave that and we go, and that is the Sea of Galilee. We're heading into a city you may have heard from the scriptures called Tiberias, right? That's where we stayed a couple of nights. But we did that, and so here we are at Tiberias. There's the Sea of Galilee with the city, in the forefront. I'm taking some of these pictures while we're on the bus, so you may see some weird reflections here and there because of the windows of the bus. So just chalk it up to weird stuff going on. That's our first night in Tiberias. We stayed at a hotel not far from the marina. And I just, this is out our hotel window. And this is a beautiful picture, but I'm in a couple of slides, I'm going to show you my favorite picture of all time that the Lord allowed me to have. It was just one of those wonderful things that happened to us. Okay? And, we were very close to the waterfront there, so Linda and I walked down there just to see what it was like. And it's a typical marina. There's restaurants and shops and ice cream stands. We got some ice cream while we were there. Had to have that. And we were just walking around, having a great time. And walking down there, we saw this. And I thought, this was interesting. Of all things to be in Tiberias, there's the Church of Scotland. I thought, that doesn't fit. But it's a beautiful church. And we walked right past the thing, just one of these walkways down to the marina. And I thought, that was just fascinating. So we walked around, and like I say, we had a snack and some ice cream. Had to have the ice cream. And we're walking back, and remember that moon thing that you saw? That's my favorite picture of all time. I just happened to look. We're walking this way, and I happened to look over here, and I went, look at that. There's a boat anchored out in the Sea of Galilee. The waves are lapping up the shore right where we were standing. And I saw the moon behind that, just at the bottom of that cloud. And look at all and it's like the Lord was saying, here, take this. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing picture. And I just happened to look to my right and saw that, So thank you, Lord. But you know what? Jesus probably saw a lot of those, didn't he? This is what the Lord saw. By the way, the Sea of Galilee, really isn't a sea. It's a really big lake. In fact, our guide, who was an Israeli, he's a former Israeli military officer, he said, we Israelis like to exaggerate. We call a lake a sea. And so... It is a big lake. It's not anywhere close to the Dead Sea, but it's a fairly large lake. Yeah, I wanted to get that palm tree over there onto the right, just because you see the light from the marina, but then you see the light from the moon just peeking out underneath that cloud, and I thought, oh, man. So that's one of my favorite pictures of all time, that thing right there. Okay, I just thought, well, this is just too cool. That's the next morning. That's out of our hotel window, for crying out loud. So once again, thank you, Lord. Oh, by the way, those little hills there on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, you may have heard of them. They're called the Golan Heights. We are that close to Syria and Jordan and the Palestinian area. But you know what? One thing that I noticed, I told you the story last week, is we landed in Tel Aviv and we're waiting for the bus to pick us up that morning. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes into our room and says, we have to go now. And that's when they fired all those missiles. You probably heard it here in the States that all of a sudden the Palestinians, you know, fired a whole bunch of missiles. Well, two of them headed right toward us in Tel Aviv. But the Iron Dome, Israeli's anti-missile system, got them both. I think one guy said, I think I told you, it's the funniest thing. He says, you know what happens when we get these alarms? You know what us Tel Aviv people do? I said, what? You go to the shelter, don't you? No, we go to the beach. We want to see our missile system shoot down those missiles. It's great fun, apparently. And I'm dumb enough, I'd probably go with them. You know, I want to see that stuff. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was very close. It was on another side of it, but yeah. Yeah, it's... That's the problem. One of the problems with this tour is, trust me, we got our money's worth. We saw everything, but they packed in. We'd get on the bus... They'd bus us to some place like this, and they'd say, okay, you got an hour to see this. And then get back on the bus, and then you go another hour and a half to some other place. Okay, you got 30 minutes. And so they just crammed so much stuff into our tour, and we were, you know, bleary-eyed already from the, you know, all the time change and everything. I had to go back and, where did I take this picture? Because it was all running together at some point, you know. So, but I love this because I took several shots of the sun rising over the Golan Heights. But, you know, we felt very safe. We really did. I mean, we crossed over into Palestinian territory more than once to see stuff. You have to. Because, yes, it's Israel, but there's Israeli-controlled areas and Palestinian-controlled areas. And it's like a border, but it's not as strict as a border. As going like from Israel to Lebanon or Israel to Jordan or something like that. You can do it. It's no big deal, really. But, you know, it's, you know, going into Palestinian territory and you see these Palestinian soldiers, it's a little scary sometimes. But it really, we were in no danger the whole time. Another shot of the, you know, I don't know why I'm a sucker for sunrises and stuff like landscape shots. So you have to put up with that, so sorry. Sea of Galilee. There you go, Orban. I got this in here for you, man. They bussed us to this place on the Sea of Galilee, and of course they have agreements with places where you can shop. Okay, and we got on before we got on this boat to go out on the Sea of Galilee, we walked through this store, and I saw these, and I thought, Orban. So, and I got several other shots that I'm not going to show you, but I thought that was the most ornate. You know, all these shofars are very ornate, very beautiful. So, And then we get on the, we go through a museum. That is a boat that they recovered from the Sea of Galilee from Jesus' time. Okay? It's a miracle that it exists at all. And they were able to restore it to, at least to that point. And it is entirely feasible that the Lord was on a boat similar to that when the storm came up. You know, it's amazing that they were able to pull this, the pieces of wood that made that boat and put it together. There was enough of it to put together. You know, and it does help you understand a little bit more of what the Lord was not on some big old, you know, barge like we got on our lakes, you know, one of those pontoon barge thingies that we got going on. No, it was more like that. And, you know, seeing the Sea of Galilee without a storm, some of the waves are pretty big. You know, you have wind and stuff like that. I can't imagine what it's like in a storm. It would probably be extremely rough. And on a little boat like that, could you imagine? Think about it. What, this? It's probably a couple of thousand years old. Yeah, the ark probably was much bigger. You know, just a thought. But yeah, it'd be interesting to find pieces of the ark, wouldn't it? I know I hear stories about that, but I don't know if they're true or not. But anyway, we got to go through that. And then we got on the barge, our little boat, to go on the Sea of Galilee. And I thought this was cool. They did the American flag and the Israeli flag. One thing I noticed in our travels is they love America. The Israelis love America. And they really loved what Donald Trump did and moved the embassy to Jerusalem. I mean, that was highly significant for them. And they were, I mean, I heard nothing but positive about us while we were over there. So I think that's why they do that, you know, that we're friends. We're buddies. Okay? By the way, this guy here, there's a better picture. That guy right here in the blue shirt, that's Michael English. And he was with us, gospel singer. There's the Sea of Galilee. We're out on the boat, you know. You can see the waves. It's a beautiful day, and the waves are, it's not calm, but it's not super rough, but it's not calm either. There's Michael, and he's leading us in a little song as we're floating around on the Sea of Galilee. So I thought that was kind of cool. After our little boat trip, I thought they would bring us back to where we, you know, took off. No, they took us to another place on the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. You may have heard of it. And all over the place, they have these placards that, you know, quote the New Testament, you know, to give you kind of a historical context. This talks about Capernaum in Matthew chapter 4, as it says. So, there's all kinds of buildings there. You know, like I told you, there's all these places that are in the New Testament. There's some sort of chapel, you know, or some sort of nunnery or something like that going on. And that it's for good reason. It preserves this place, you know, and as a memorial to what the Lord did. I saw this rock, and this thing's called the Gospel Trail. And it quotes, let's see, what is it? Yeah, it's Matthew again. And it has to do with his, you know, the Lord, events in the Lord's life in Capernaum. Then we went to Caesarea Philippi, and what's interesting here is this is the headwaters of the Jordan River, and this is a beautiful area. Isn't that something? Yeah. Walking around there, you can imagine how many pictures I took of this. And then we go to this weird place called the Temple of Pan. Pan is a Roman god. So when the Romans owned Palestine, they built temples and they built structures to worship their gods and goddesses. Pan is a, the, you know, pan means all. Pan means everything. And this was fascinating. It was a hard walk because there's a lot of steps and everything. Not everybody was able to do this. And I don't know why, but I get my finger in the picture sometimes, so please just ignore that. But I just thought some of these scenes that I was walking by, I just had to take a picture. Okay, the Sanctuary of Pan. You can look it up on Wikipedia, on the internet, or something about Pan. But one of the things is that you have the legend that I read when I was there is this is one of many temples in this area, and that is the gates of hell right there. You want to do a little tour of hell? Go into that cave right there. At least that's what the Roman legend was all about. Needless to say, I didn't want to go. It just didn't sound very healthy to me. But there's all kinds of things. Like here, this is the Temple of Zeus, what's left of it. And on this wall, it's a rock wall. I don't know if I have a picture of anything. This is it says the Tomb Temple of the Sacred Goats. And the point is this area, there's a temple to Pan, there's a temple to these goats, there's a temple to Zeus. It's like a little outdoor shopping mall filled with a bunch of temples to various Roman gods and goddesses. And this gives you an idea that these things were pretty much right next to each other here, which is I thought was fascinating. And they would build stuff into the walls, little sculptures and stuff like that, I guess to help them worship. It was an amazing thing. It was a lot of walking, but it was well worth it because they preserved the heads of columns, you know, that made up the temple, these ornate things like you see in Greece, you know, they had a whole bunch of those. I didn't give you a picture. I took pictures of it, but I thought it wouldn't bore you with that. Then we go there. Here's Capernaum, the town of Jesus. And anybody know German? Benedictine cloister means what? What's a cloister? It's a chapel or it's a, you know, a what? It could be a nunnery. It could be, you know, all various. Oh, by the way, this guy talking in the little microphone, that's our Israeli guide, Yossi. Little story about Yossi is he knows all this stuff, and he talks about all the places that Jesus was, and he talks about it reverently. This is an Israeli military guy, and he talks about the things of Jesus where we, even in Jerusalem, he talked about these things in a very reverent way, a very knowledgeable way. But every now and then on the bus, when he was talking on the bus, he would go, well, I don't know what I believe. And he knew this stuff better than anybody, and he didn't know. And one of my biggest regrets was not sitting down with him one-on-one and saying, here's what the New Testament teaches about, you know, what the biblical faith is all about. You know, because I got the idea that he was, like so many other people, confused. And he knew all this stuff. And he had not brought himself to the point to where he actually believed. You know, I think he actually, you know, I don't know that I can say that he believed that Jesus was actually resurrected. He acknowledged that it's possible, but he just, I don't know. It was a shame. I wish I could have sat down and talked to him. I know a couple of other people in our tour were able to do so, but I would have loved to have just sat down with him. He was a very cool guy, very good guide, very nice guy. But you can tell, I want him on my side. I don't want to fight him, okay? This is just another chapel that's near in Capernaum. Statues all around the place, you know, in this cloister. And I thought this was interesting. St. Peter's house. Oh, I took this picture because these rocks look charred. They look like they were burnt. And I thought, well, you know, this would be kind of interesting to, because it is just, that kind of stuff's everywhere. It's extremely old. And then there's a chapel here in Capernaum, and there's the inside of the chapel. I mean, it's not super ornate like you see in Europe, but it's simple, but it has a beauty of its own, doesn't it? More sunsets. Sorry. Okay, Mount of the Beatitudes. See, the point is, all these places have been preserved, haven't they? A lot of these folks are traditional. You know, this is where they think the Lord did the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and all that stuff, or various other teachings, maybe. But this is a beautiful place. Once again, it's on a mountain. And see these things right here? Those are coverings over banana plants, but because apparently there's a pest that goes in there and destroys bananas, loves bananas. I forgot the name of them, but it's like, you know, maybe it's just, you know, horrible cats or something like that. I mean, it's just, but they have to protect them by covering the banana fields with these huge tarps, you know. Yeah, apparently they're okay, but they've worked it out. But I don't know how, but they have. Cana, we moved on to Cana. See what I'm saying? We go from one place to the other. We have 30 or 45 minutes, maybe an hour and such and such. Then we're off to the next place. And it's just one of those interesting things. And we see chapel, after chapel in these places. That's kind of a pretty place, isn't it? And as you can see, it's kind of a popular place. There's a lot of people there. Nazareth. Have you heard of Nazareth? Yeah, this is the the Annunciation. Chapel of the Annunciation. Isn't that beautiful? This is all in Nazareth, of all places. And you can say, you know, people would go in, and it's just beautiful inside. And then next to it, there's this thing called the Church of St. Joseph. Once again, there's just church after church. There's a heavy Christian influence in Jerusalem. That's what amazed me about the place, is that you've got Arabs, Jews, Christians, and for the most part, they live in peace with each other, unless they get riled up by some outside influence. Yes, ma'am. The announcement of the birth of Christ. And I took this picture because I got a picture inside. Isn't that beautiful? In the background, that little area, that's a picture. You know, and there's a crucifix underneath. And they were having a little church service there, so I had to take a picture real quietly. But no, it's wood. It's a different color of wood. But there's stained glass windows on either side. You can barely see them. But it's just a beautiful place. And then we head south. Is there a little difference in the landscape between what's around Galilee and heading south? Yeah. Have you ever heard of this place? I love the name of this restaurant. We ate there. Temptation.
Why isn't it the last temptation?
I don't know. The Mount of Temptation restaurant in Jericho. I don't know. Isn't that funny? Actually, I'm sorry?
Chocolate.
Oh. Now, see, if they had chocolate mousse, I would fall to that temptation. Because being a confirmed charter member of Chocoholics Anonymous. I love this thing. It says Jericho, lowest place on earth, oldest city. Yeah. So it's interesting because when you get to that below sea level, like the Dead Sea, there's not a lot of vegetation. And we're not that far from the sea, the Dead Sea. How many people would ride a camel? I know you would, Orban. Yeah, Carl would. I took a pic. This lady, I got a couple of pictures of her. When the camel stood up, she goes, ah! She screamed like crazy, about to lose her balance. But they took her around, you know, just a little ways. That's Jericho. Uh-huh. Yep. We get to the Jordan River, and there's baptisms. There's the Jordan River. I got this picture because they warned us. See that little yellow, those yellow floats and that rope? That's the border between Israel and Jordan. And they said, do not cross it. Oh, by the way, don't cross that border. Did I mention don't cross that border? Yeah, and so, you know, we obeyed. We did not cross that border. But there's, amazingly, I have other pictures. There's a little Baptist area over there on the Jordan side, and there's a little chapel over there. Kind of a pretty, we only saw the top of it. But, you know, there's Linda getting baptized in the Jordan River. I had to get that picture in. Yep. The guy that baptized her, the guy that you see with the cross on there, he's an evangelist. And the lady with the red hair over here is, widowed now, but she was married to the guy that started the band that Linda sings with, Joshua Experience. And her name's Orlana. She's a little bit on the charismatic side. I call her a raise the dead charismatic. So. She doesn't like that at all, by the way. There's Michael English getting baptized in the Jordan River. And I had to get this. Notice it says border ahead. And, you know, after thinking about this, the fact that they warned us over and over again, don't cross that. See all those tall weeds or tall reeds there? I wondered if there were snipers in there that were going to get you if you cross that border. I did not want to find out, so I obeyed the law. But something fascinating happened. I didn't want to get baptized, but I wanted to put my feet in the Jordan. So I roll up my pants legs. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? You know, and I've been able to break lenses when people take pictures of me. So the fact that this survived. But I get in the Jordan River, and three doves land right there. And I'm standing there. I didn't even see them at first. And all of a sudden people go, oh, look at those doves. Get a picture. You know, and that's the first time we've saw birds during that whole baptismal ceremony. And when I'm in the Jordan, they come. So, I mean, well, it's a gift. What can I say? Oh, no, the Israelis look much better than that. Uh-uh. Well, I don't know. But what you're seeing across the Jordan there, that is the country of Jordan, which I think is fascinating, isn't it? You're that close.
Uh-huh. How little water is
that?
Yeah. Call it Jordan Creek.
We would call it Jordan Creek, yeah. A trickle. But I had to throw that picture in there because the only time doves arrived at the baptismal. I wanted to land on my shoulder, but they didn't do it. And now we have sound effects for the doves. Hey. I didn't, and there was no beam of light, you know, or anything. But it was so funny because I didn't see them, and everybody else goes, oh, look at the birds! Thought that was funny. Guess what? Finally, we get to Jerusalem. Yerushalayim. That's how you pronounce it. One of my favorite sayings in the Old Testament is Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. You know what that means? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Sha'alu, pray, Shalom means peace. Yerushalayim is Jerusalem. Literally means pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they need it. They're in a very dangerous place. Amen. You told me that story. That's very cool. I like that. So now you can dazzle them with your Hebrew. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Practice, 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 huh? I think it's in the book of Amos or someplace. That's one of the first things we saw driving into Jerusalem. The Dome of the Rock. We're over, I guess, on the Mount of Olives, you know, that overlooks the old city. The Wailing Wall is there. I've got a picture of the Wailing Wall. But this is close to the end of the day. This is 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And so you see a few lights coming on. It got dark early there. I mean, it was starting to get dark at 4:45, you know, 5 o'clock. See the wall down below here? You know, one of the walls of Jerusalem, the old city. See how low the sun is? And by the way, look what's down here right below us. Cemetery. Which is amazing to see. Oh, they do, but in this area, no. I think it's too rocky. Golly, didn't know that. But I love that with the sun and then the Dome of the Rock still in the picture. I like that picture. And here's a picture of wildlife in Jerusalem. We had to get a picture of us with the Dome of the Rock in the background. You know, that's just, isn't that adorable? Yeah, almost broke the lens on that one too. There's walls all around the old city. Just had to show you the ancient walls that have been, of course, they were torn down several times, but they've been rebuilt over the years. The Babylonians tore them down. The Romans tore them down. So it happens all the time. Oh, look, there's the Wailing Wall. And my thumb. I wonder if there's a way to, I'm sure somebody that knows how to do photo editing knows how to get rid of that. What I like about that picture is the guy, two guys down, the ultra-Orthodox guy. They are all over the place in Jerusalem, and my friend, remember I told you I have a friend that I graduated, he told me some stories about ultra-Orthodox, how weird they are. Ultra-Orthodox Judaism is apparently not a lot of fun. And, you know, they've got the little curls coming down here. I saw kids, you know, 10, 12 years old with the little curls because they were born into an ultra-Orthodox family. You know, I just, it's an amazing place because you've got people literally from all over the world going to the Wailing Wall. And they're, just like you see in other pictures, there's little pieces of paper that people have put prayers in and all that. And, that's what it is. It's the place of prayer. Okay, I think it's the only surviving part of the temple, and so you know that's why it's so significant. You can get an idea of it with that. I mean, it goes a pretty good ways that way, as well. But you can tell that, you know, the original stones and then other stuff was built on top of it. By the way, that's another thing in Israel, is a lot of these churches and chapels that you've already seen, those are fairly new, but they were built on the ruins of other churches that were built hundreds, maybe thousands of years ago. So, then we go to the Garden Tomb. Pretty place.
The garden tomb, I have a story here. You can go into that little hole in the wall over there. Supposedly that's where Jesus was buried. And people go in, and just to give you an idea, you know, supposedly that's where he was laid. That's inside that little, it's a very small claustrophobic little place. And supposedly that's where Jesus' body was laid. And they have all these plaques around, which is kind of cool. But one of the interesting things that happened, we're standing there outside this garden tomb, people all around, and all of a sudden from within that little garden tomb, some lady started screaming and hollering like she was in horrible pain. And I thought, well, somebody fell, hit her head or something, and she was carried out. And the story was, and it was an Asian lady, and apparently she didn't hurt herself. The story was she thought that by going in there she could be healed of some disease. And when she wasn't, she got all upset. Okay? That's the problem with that stuff. You know, and it's superstition, and it has no place in the Christian faith. Who heals? Who can heal without even saying a word? Right, there's only one who heals. And but there's all this teaching built up around this that, oh, if I touch this thing, then Saint so-and-so will heal me. No, not so much. And apparently this lady, and I can't believe we witnessed that. I don't know how often that happens. Hopefully not very often. But the lady had expectations that were not met. And she was incredibly upset. And that's all I know of that situation. But it was a very interesting scene. Israel Museum. There's Linda. We're about to go in there. I love this story. What do you think? It's not Starbucks. It's stars and bucks. What do you think? Trying to avoid copyright issues or something? What do you think? I got the biggest kick out of that. And it's just a little, you know, the Jerusalem version of a 7-Eleven. That's about all it is. There's me and Linda with Michael English and his lady. We had to get a picture of us with him. So, yes, we're close personal friends, if you believe that. This is a store we went into. That is all hand-carved stuff. And there's bigger stuff. I don't know if I have a picture of it here. No, I don't. But there's stuff that sits on the floor that's 4 or 5 feet tall, like a manger scene. I mean, and it's all carved out of wood. I mean, isn't that amazing? I would have bought one, but I don't think it would have made it home in one piece. I got this picture because look at what's at the top of that spire there. It's a crescent, not a cross. So it's a mosque. But right next door to it will be a chapel, a Christian chapel. Okay? And notice it's saying, you know, restoration of the Church of Nativity. Yeah. I think it's olive. Yeah. That's inside the church. I'm not only a sucker for sunsets and sunrise, but I also love the inside of cathedrals and chapels. And this is a beautiful place. Isn't that amazing? This is Linda with my friend Al Nuccironi from seminary. Al had a very interesting background. He left seminary, went to Italy. Being named Nuccironi helps. And he spent a lot of time in Italy. Then he spent a lot of time in, of all places, Vienna, Austria. And then the last 13 years in Jerusalem, working for a Baptist church in Jerusalem, as well as Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Al's a very cool guy. I was lucky because his wife was here in the States because one of their daughters was having a baby, and of course, Grandma had to be there. So Al was free the whole day. I was so happy. The timing of that worked out perfect. And that shows how close we were to, you know. They all live together. They all are, you know, there's a church on one side of the corner and a mosque on the other and a synagogue on the other. And it's just, it's something you don't see very often here. Going into, now this is when Al took me on, this is a gate in the wall going on that Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrows, traditionally where Jesus walked, you know, to the cross. Just to give you an idea of what it looks like, it's now very commercialized. As you can see, there's all kinds of restaurants and little curio shops and everything. Al's trying to get me to please stay up, keep up with him, and I say, look, get over it. Yeah, I forgot the significance of that, but he said, here, get in there and I'll take your picture. So Al took the picture. But this gives you, once again, an idea of, look, notice how narrow and claustrophobic it is now. This is an interesting picture. The T-shirt that I got Carl and Orban, this is the guy that made it, the guy in the middle. Al's over here with the sunglasses and all that stuff. And these people, I have no idea who they are. But the guy that owns the shirt shop is an Arab Christian. So he's a brother. Okay? There are more Arab Christians than you would think would exist. There's a revival going on. There's a revival going on in the state of Iran right now. A lot of Iranians are becoming Christians right now. And there's a lot of, what I'm noticing is there's a lot of displeasure with Islam in a lot of these countries. They're just talking to people. And so a lot of them are becoming believers. But he's a fellow Arab believer. Apparently, I put my hand there. Interesting thing about this is where Jesus, apparently, as he was walking, had to steady himself. He put his hand there. And so I had to put my hand there. Who knows if that's really the case. But it was fun. Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross. And Al took me into a Russian Orthodox church that's along that Via Dolorosa. I got lots of pictures because the artwork in this Russian Orthodox church is fabulous. I don't have enough time to show you all the pictures, but that's a picture of the 12 disciples, and there's murals of this, that, and the other. Beautiful artwork all over this place. Over here? Interesting. Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And then Al took me to this place. It's called a hospice. It's more of a kind of a place just where people go that's run by the Austrians. And he got us in. I don't know how he did, but he got us in. And they have this terrace or this roof. And look what it overlooks. So I got this picture. See, I'm only with Al. I'm not with the tour right now. Al's showing me all these places that the tour never went. And I got some cool pictures. Yeah, this is not a tour site. This is Al, because he's lived there 13 years, said, we got to go into this Austrian place. And it's got a great panoramic view. And so we climbed up to the roof of this place, and that's what we got. It's nice to know people in high places, right? I just love that, just the colors, you know, of the sunset and everything. Here's the big concert. This was in an abandoned shopping mall in downtown Jerusalem, and there's a big auditorium in there, and that's where the big concert. The reason Al and I were able to go all afternoon is because Linda had to go to practice and rehearsal and sound checks and all that stuff right here in this auditorium. Then Al took me back and he sat through the concert as well. The guy there that's speaking is the evangelist. But Joshua, that's the Joshua Experience. Those are all highly professional musicians that are playing. Can you see the bass player over here right underneath the welcome sign? He's a former mayor of Aledo. He's a character. there's Michael, had to. And oh, by the way, I don't have time, but Linda sang a solo in this thing. I have a movie or video of it, which maybe I can show you sometime. She did a great job, but she now can say, "I have sung a solo with Michael in a concert with Michael English in Jerusalem." I mean, does it get any better? Yad Vashem literally means hand of the name, but it's the Holocaust Museum. And this, I just took a show you a few pictures of it. It was incredibly sad and overwhelming. There's a dome in there with all these pictures of victims. Isn't that incredible? I wasn't supposed to take pictures. I don't care. Yeah, there were a lot of people taking pictures. Room of the Last Supper, King David's tomb. Don't have pictures of all that. But there's Michael posing for us. Isn't that, what a guy. Room of the Last Supper. And this is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's got a kind of a gold. I wanted to get a picture of these olive trees. Look how thick the trunk is of these olive. These things are probably over 1,000 years old. Maybe two. That's the door into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and there's the insides. Isn't that incredible? And there's a garden next to it. You know, I had to get that. You'll see that in cathedrals in Europe where they have a blue ceiling with stars on it. Y'all could do that here, couldn't you? Next time I'm here, I expect that to be done, okay? Especially with the gold leaf as well, okay? And then this is, look, the more olive trees, and then they did the word peace, at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is right next door to it. And then we went to London. This is our last day in Jerusalem. Then we flew to London. But folks, as you can see, man, they bust us all over the place. We saw everything. I mean, it was an incredible trip, and it was amazing that the Lord, in His infinite grace, allowed Linda and I to go. I mean, it was amazing to see all these places. And, you know, I've been studying this stuff for over 45 years. It's nice to actually see some of the places, you know. And like I say, not only we were in there where the Lord was, but we also, I met some incredibly good people. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ that live literally all over the country. And like I say, with our Arab friends and all that. The real quick story, when we were in London, one of our Uber drivers was from Iran. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but I could not believe how much he hates Islam. In fact, he says, he came across to me that, you know, people in England, as we would do, is that if you're from Iran, you're Muslim. And he says, I'm not. He says, my grandfather was a general for the Shah of Iran before the Ayatollahs got in there. And they treated my grandfather horribly. Remember in 79 when all that stuff happened? Apparently it was atrocious. And I asked him what percentage of Iranians are Muslim. He said maybe a third. 35%. But most Iranians are not. So we cannot make assumptions that just because you're from such and such country that you are Muslim, or you are, like, if you're from Mexico, you're Catholic. You know, because there's a lot of Mexicans and Latin Americans that are not Catholic. You know, and but there's assumptions that we make that are not valid. And he got all angry, and I got to witness to the guy. You know, I said, and it's really true that, you know, he's right in being angry at Islam, because, you know, Muhammad in the Quran, in several places and in several contexts, encourages his believers to kill the infidel. You don't see one word of that in the New Testament. And based on that, I told him, I said, the closer a person lives by the Quran, the more violent they are. The closer somebody lives by the New Testament, the more peaceful they are. And that's true. And it's like he hadn't thought of that before. But I said, you know, I don't care what you think about Christianity or whatever, you still have to deal with this person named Jesus Christ. And he said, I can guarantee you everlasting life. Do you believe this? And that's the essence of saving faith. And so I gave him the God. Now, hopefully, seed was planted. I don't know. But he listened, and I told him, you know, there's a website out there if you want to investigate it, Bible.org. You know, a lot of good articles on Bible.org if he wants to investigate. And he said, what is that? Bible.org. So he, you know, Lord willing, he's out there investigating. And hopefully he's become a believer by now. But I was amazed at this Iranian guy being so violently angry at Islam. And he was more than willing to talk about it and share. But that opened up the door for me to share the gospel with the guy. And hopefully, Lord willing, his name is Ali, if you want to pray for him. You know, but he was a very nice guy. We shook hands when we, you know, he let us out at the hotel. And I think he enjoyed our conversation. But, you know, I learned a lot from this guy. Because he lived underneath the Ayatollahs. And he suffered, and his family suffered as a result of what's going on in Iran. And he's offended that people think that because he's Iranian, he's automatically Muslim. He gets offended at that assumption. And he's right. We shouldn't assume those things. So pray for Ali, okay? He was a nice guy. And so, Lord willing, he will find the Lord. I'm over time, folks. Sorry. Go ahead. There is a lot of agriculture up in the north, like we saw in the Sea of Galilee. There are acres, hundreds of acres, thousands of acres of orchards of various types, including olives. So there's plenty of forestation there. So, yeah. At least what we saw when we were riding around on the bus, I'd look at the countryside and there's yet another orchard of something. So there's a lot more than you think. It surprised me how much agriculture there was going on up there in and around the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. I was amazed. You saw as we headed south, it got to be real deserty. But that's the fascinating thing. And then you go up on the mountain, Mount Zion, you know, Jerusalem's on a mountain, so it's a lot colder. It was cooler in Jerusalem than it was in Tel Aviv, by quite a margin, I might add. Because Tel Aviv is on the coast of the Mediterranean, so it's going to stay warm. But Jerusalem's on the mountain, and it was chilly. Wasn't cold, bitter cold, but it was chilly, which helped get us our cold as we were walking around. Yes, sir? I think it, well, if I remember what, if I, right. It could be, you know, I'm thinking it's some Orthodox, it's probably an Orthodox church. Like I say, there's Armenians, there's Russians, there's other kinds of Eastern Orthodox and Catholic. There's everything there. Which, that's what amazed me about the whole thing, is this conglomeration of all these faiths living together in one place, essentially, including the Palestinians. Because to go to Bethlehem, you have to cross the border from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And they're only about, what, 7-8 miles apart? You have to cross a border into Palestinian territory. You know, and they told us, keep your passport handy. Apparently, our guide had enough influence to where he could say, could y'all take a coffee break? You border guards. And we didn't have to show our passports to get into Palestinian territory. When the baptism in the Jordan, Palestinian territory. So we crossed into Palestinian controlled parts of Israel, and we had no problem. I recommend going to Israel just because there's so much to see and so much profound things going on. What I didn't realize, or it just skip my mind, is we spend a lot of time in the Sea of Galilee area. Jesus did too. Most of his life was spent around the Sea of Galilee. So even if you just go there in Jerusalem, that's a lot, you know, just to see that. So I hope you enjoyed it. I kind of went overboard. I only have about, 1,800 more pictures. And you want to see all of them, huh? Oh, gosh, that's the best cure for insomnia I can ever think of. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for our time together and for the beauty of the land that you walked. Just pray that we will appreciate you all the more for who you are and what you've done for us. Because we've seen these sights that you saw. We were able to walk where you probably walked and the sights that you saw. Be with us now as we go into our worship time, and may your name be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. Sorry, I went way over time.